Thank you for joining us today for another sermon podcast from Flushing Community Church. We desire to experience the transforming love of God and share it with others. It's our hope that you will find today's recording encouraging for your personal journey of faith. Let's join Pastor Terry Bate as he shares another message from God's Word.
Today we are starting a teaching series that's going to be 7 weeks long called At the Movies. And the idea behind this is that each week we'll choose a new movie, we'll be able to show some clips from that movie to help us lead into spiritual conversations about life. Because I don't know about you, but if I go to a movie, I'm constantly analyzing that from a biblical worldview, from a Terry worldview. How is this playing into my real world? And so that's kind of what our staff will be doing each week of this summer. We'll end on August 5th on this series. And but it's just a great way to do to kind of launch and have some fun. I will say this. I think At the Movies is a great sermon series for invitation points, because the basis of our conversations are going to start with a movie that is very popular, the movie that most people have probably seen. And so the reality is that any guest that would come into this place over the next few weeks is going to feel super comfortable. I think guests feel comfortable all the time. I hope you do. But the launching point being a movie kind of can be an entry point. So be looking for Facebook and your email and ways that we'll be announcing what movie is coming next and how to play into that. But I just wanted to encourage you, think about a friend or a guest that you could invite to be a part of who we are, even in this July and early August months. In your bulletin today, there's an insert. I encourage you to pull that out. In that insert, there are some questions that I'm going to be asking. You might want to use the digital insert through YouVersion. If you open up the YouVersion Bible app and look at events, you'll find our event there. And there's a hashtag, FCC at the movies. If you find a nugget of truth, if you feel like God inspired you with something, I encourage you to share that on your social media network, and you use that hashtag, then even, I search that once, twice a week, kind of see if there's any chatter, and it just helps us to be able to answer questions or even support the journey that you're on. So I just wanted to encourage you to engage with what God wants to speak to you about over the course of this day. I'm pretty excited to share this message. If any of you have known me for any length of time, you know that Star Wars is kind of one of my favorite movie series. I'm not probably as freaked out and crazy about it as John Popovitz, but I do. He has the Wookiee down. He can talk like most of the characters. I can't. I'm pretty excited about this. Now, the weeks ahead, you know, there's going to be staff members that are going to take you back to the future. There's going to be some staff members that are going to take you to the greatest show on earth. You're going to visit the Enchanted Castle. You're going to go on a voyage out of this world. You're even going to go into a voyage in your own mind in this series. And you're probably going to have one final excursion deep into the jungle. But today, we start out of this world. And we start looking at this movie, Star Wars. I think one of the first theater movies I ever saw, well, the very first one I saw was Jungle Book. But I think the second one was The Empire Strikes Back. So Star Wars is just a part of me. When Corbin was growing up, I felt it to be a very important part of my job as father to make sure that he has seen every one of the Star Wars movies. Now, some of you think it's important to teach your sons how to change their oil or learn how to put on new brake pads on their vehicles. No, not me. It was my job to teach my son the proper order to watch Star Wars. And you all can have your different opinions on all of that. But once Disney bought Star Wars out, then it became a whole new generation of fans following this saga of the Skywalker family. So during Episode 7, which was the first release of Disney, I believe, Force Awakens was its name, we were introduced to a couple of characters, and just kind of want to kind of set the stage for where we're going to be, which is actually Episode 8, which is The Last Jedi. But the first character we got to meet was the ugliest of all Star Wars characters, in my opinion, Supreme Leader Snoke. This guy is nasty. He leads the First Order along with his apprentice known as Kylo Ren, who I also think is kind of nasty. His name is really Ben Solo, who is the son of Han Solo and Leia, who you recognize from some of the originals. And so there's this resistance that's formed against the First Order led by Leia, who looks a little bit older now, a little bit more matured. And they've placed all of their hope in this resistance in this Jedi warrior known as Luke Skywalker, who is actually Leia's twin brother. Luke is the last known Jedi. I'm using this image of him from the Return of the Jedi, but he's gotten quite a bit older. He's been missing for some time. He's taken himself out of the Force and just kind of been reclused for quite some time as we get into these movies. But everyone has put all of their hope in the fact that Luke alone is the spark needed to fuel the resistance and defeat the First Order. So when Force Awakens ends, that was episode 7, we see a young character named Rey reaching out. She's a little unknown character surrounded by a ton of mystery, but Rey is reaching out. She's tracked down Luke to this desolate island, and she has his lightsaber reaching out to offer him the chance to regain the fight, to regain his mojo, and get involved with life again. And we have no idea what happens. It's kind of like this moment, there's Luke, his little mechanical hand, and then we're like, what's going to happen? We were left with tons of questions, like, who is Rey? We were left with questions like, is she a Skywalker? Maybe, and people were doing this face recognition thing, maybe she's Ben Kenobi's daughter, and we just don't know about him, so there's Ben Kenobi. And so we have all of these characters that are kind of swirling around us in these movies. I was telling my father when he was in town recently that Corbin and I had went and seen Solo, and he goes, oh, what's that about? I said, it's about Han Solo. He's like, no, oh, who's he? Like, Star Wars, like Harrison Ford's big, you know, blank, crickets. But that guy can make a pocket jig. I mean, that guy could build a bed like crazy. So he's got that going for him, but he had nothing with Star Wars. Now, if you don't know, the Force is this powerful energy that holds all living things together. It could be harnessed by the Jedi to do great things. It can also be used by what's called the Sith for evil. So people strong in the Force can move rocks. They can move ships. They can even get into the weak-minded and make them say things and make them do things that they wouldn't otherwise do. And so Sith were actually many times actually Jedi who were convinced that the dark side of the Force was something that could be used for good, and so they would be tricked into going over there for some valuable or wholesome thing. So the original trilogy of Star Wars, which is actually numbers 4, 5, and 6. Am I talking fast enough? 4, 5, and 6... focused on the Skywalker family connection to the Force. Then the prequels came out, which were 1, 2, and 3. They weren't, I don't know, you have your own opinions about them. They were okay. They focused on how the Skywalkers actually gained their Jedi power, which was really kind of weird and freaky because apparently Anakin didn't have a dad, only a mom, and so that was kind of weird. But anyways, we move on to now the Disney trilogy, which will be 7, 8, and eventually 9. It appears that there's more to this Force than we first thought or understood. Anyone lost yet? Anyone but Johnny following me? Okay, there's a lot of you lost. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a little trivia question. We're going to ask 4 quick trivia questions to see how you're doing with your Star Wars questions and your Star Wars knowledge. Okay, question number 1. What famous composer scored all 8 Star Wars saga movies? Not all the side ones, but the saga movies. I'm going to give you 3 choices. Choice number 1, Hans Zimmer. Number 2, John Williams. Number 3, John Barry. These are all famous composers. So what you're going to do is vote by raising your hand with a 1, a 2, or a 3. If you think it's Hans, if you think it's John Williams or John Barry. So everybody, place your votes. Lock them in. 1, 2, or 3. And the correct answer is John Williams. So if you have a 2 up, you did a very good job. Give yourself a round of applause. Question number 2. Getting a little deeper here. What are the microscopic life forms that resides within all living cells? Is it number 1, midichlorians? Number 2, mitochondria? Number 3, force ghosts? 1, 2, or 3? You got to place your votes. Go right now. Don't all, everybody look at Johnny before placing your votes. You should vote later, okay? Johnny's like, bang, all right. The correct answer is midichlorians. Mitochondrion live in plants, you people. Okay, so question number 3. What planet did Luke Skywalker receive his training from Master Yoda on? Okay, this is a good question. Answer number 1 possibility, Mustafar. I love saying that. Mustafar. All right, number 2, Tatooine. Number 3, Dagobah. So is it 1, 2, or 3? Johnny, hold your vote for just a moment. Lock in your votes now, everybody. Correct answer is the Dagobah system, number 3. How many of you have got all of them correct so far? How many of you have got none of them correct so far? All right, excellent. We're doing good. Last question. The latest Star Wars-related movie, so not in the sagas, But the last Star Wars related movie was called Solo. I mentioned that earlier. Did it chronologically come before or after the movie we're going to look at today, The Last Jedi? I mean, it was just released. But did it chronologically come before or after The Last Jedi? So your vote is with your left hand before or your right hand after. So everybody's going to have a hand in the air. Left hand, it came before. Right hand, it came after. You got your left or your right in. Everybody voted. Okay, the correct answer is it came before The Last Jedi, quite a bit before The Last Jedi, in fact. I thought it came after 3, but upon looking, it looks like it may have come after 2 because some people say because Darth Maul is in it that it had to have come after 2. I don't know. So the reality is there's room for debate there. So everybody feel real super knowledgeable now? Shall I pray and just dismiss and we're all good? Useless information. If you're interested in the correct order of the 8 films that have been released, I will not give them to you because time is fleeting. But we didn't come here to learn about Star Wars, right? We came here to learn about life, to use Star Wars as kind of a leaping pad in how we can see life from a clear perspective. So I mentioned this, that once Force Awakens ended, right before the Last Jedi movie, we were left with this character, Rey, reaching out to Luke in what believes to be the only hope that the entire galaxy has is that Luke will take that lightsaber and rejoin the fight. Because for thousands upon thousands of generations, the galaxy had relied on the Jedi to be keepers of peace. All hope was placed in the hands of Luke Skywalker. Rey is persistent. So as this new movie, The Last Jedi, begins, Rey is persistent with Luke. She continues to plead with him, and he continues to push her aside, saying he has no interest in doing this, that the Jedi must die. I want to show you the first clip from the movie that I want us to watch. It's a moment where Rey is following Luke, but then she hears some voices and turns her direction toward a special place on the island that Luke has been. Let's watch this clip together. Everything points to Luke having all the answers. Everything. The whole movie is guiding us that way, but his persistence to resist is intriguing. Have you ever gotten to a point in your life where you have lost all hope, where it feels like everything is really working against you? Where you feel like you've looked at all the areas, you've looked at every corner, you've done everything you can, and you are just losing hope? I'd say for a season, all of us have experienced that from time to time, where we're terrified of our future, where we have a looming decision to make. We've stayed up at night, sick to our stomach, worrying about our kids, worrying about our marriage or a relationship, or waiting for a call back from the doctor. We've all experienced this. Hope can be very, very elusive at times, no doubt. But what causes such hopelessness? What puts that in us? Well, I might suggest today that one of the reasons could be is that we often simply lose sight of it. Leia was known for telling her fighters this quote, "Hope is like the sun. If you only believe in it when you can see it, you'll never make it through the night." And there's an element of truth in this. The rebels were used to facing odds that sounded and looked insurmountable. And yet each time there was just enough hope to get them through, to take another step. In the scene that we just saw, we were introduced to a hollowed out tree that contains the sacred text of the Jedi Order. These books contain the secrets and the truth of what Luke called the Jedi religion. Luke finds himself really at a crossroads in his own life in this moment, because he's revealing, he's starting to realize that Rey is special, that she has seen this holy place in their faith and their understanding, and yet he wants this all to go away. He wants this all to die. In fact, later in the movie we see, as he does begin to train her a little bit with 3 lessons, she sees the Force but recognizes that Luke isn't present. He has physically cut himself out of connecting with the Force altogether. I think the church has gone through seasons like this. I think the church has experienced moments in its history that were similar to this. Think about it. Just after Jesus was crucified, or just before Jesus was crucified actually, he was explaining what would happen. He was with all of his disciples. It's recorded in John chapter 14. And he took time to talk about that he was going to be building a place for them. That this place was going to be large enough for all who believed, that there would be plenty of space for anyone to come and to join him there. He proclaimed that he, in fact, was the way, the truth, and the life. That he was the path toward his Father. And in that moment, Philip, one of the 12, said a very bold statement. He asked something from Jesus that I thought took a lot of gumption. He said, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Verse 8. And I'm thinking to myself, as if all the things that Jesus has done to this point hasn't been enough to satisfy you, you're asking for something quite large. And Jesus kind of responded in a way of, I kind of heard sadness in his words or frustration, because he's like, I've been with you these last 3 years and you still don't know? You still haven't seen the Father through me? He goes on to say, if you've seen Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We are one. Jesus doesn't speak without the Father. He doesn't heal without the Father. He doesn't teach without the Father. Where one is, the other one is. They are one. And then Jesus kicks down the door of their understanding in many ways by telling these 12 people that have been walking with him for these 3 years and still a little confused. He tells these 12 men that the keys to the kingdom are about ready to be handed over to them. Verse 12, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask me for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Now, how exciting is this? I'm telling you, if we believe these words, this is pretty exciting stuff. This is where the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind see, the dead shall be raised, all at the hands of the apostles, and Jesus said, at the hands of all who believe. That is at our disposal. This should change all the bad church marquee signs. I mean, this is good news. We have to be clever with terrible church marquee signs. This is what should be on there, right? This is good news. Now, beyond this, even before this, Jesus had told them, it's recorded in Matthew and Luke and Mark, I believe. I use the Matthew passage where he says, "And I tell you the truth, some of you standing here right now will not die before they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom." Now, I don't know about you, but if we're a church that's got all kinds of healing that can take place and none of us have to die, that's good news. And so what happens, because none of us want to die, because we all just want to run to Jesus and ascend to heaven, what happens is that the church didn't experience some of that. And it began to get frustrated. In fact, there became a time when the people of God faced incredible persecution and death for the sake of Jesus. All they did was proclaim Jesus, and they faced all kinds of persecution. The promises of you doing even greater works and not tasting death, well, they weren't happening. And the hope and the spark of hope inside of the first century church was starting to lose its spark. The apostles were dying. Church leaders were imprisoned and executed. The resistance to the gospel message was huge and significant. And so the church was struggling to advance the message of hope among such a season of incredible despair. Can we identify with any of this? Where we feel like the church has been shoved to the corner, or maybe we've just allowed it to be shoved to the corner, and the world is just moving on, and we're just left to wonder, what is going to happen here? The followers of Jesus in the first century were not doubting Jesus. They were not doubting even that He was the Messiah. The first century church, they were doubting themselves. They were doubting what God wanted to do through them. Have you experienced such doubt? Their fire wasn't burning as strong. Their hope wasn't as secure. And their love for each other was also fading. Luke, in this movie, desired to extinguish the light of the Jedi, not because he didn't believe in the Force anymore. He still did. But he believed that there was too much faith placed in the hands of the Jedi, more faith in the actual Jedi than the Force itself. And because of that, the Jedi had become legends, he said. They become legendary. Everybody put all their hope and trust in these men, but too many of those Jedi fell into the dark side and used their power to do incredible harm. His own father, Anakin Skywalker, became Darth Vader. Now his nephew, Ben, has even become worse than Darth Vader as Kylo Ren. So to Luke, the only answer was to end the Jedi so that no one else could take this dark path. So there's a moment in the movie where he goes up and he's going to burn that sacred tree down, and with it, the sacred books, to end the Jedi once and for all. Let's watch this scene together. Who doesn't love Yoda? I love him for his wisdom. Tammy loves him for his ears. But this team met on Dagobah system a long time ago. Luke learned a lot from Yoda then, but much to learn he still had. I tried to do that in the Yoda language, and I still failed. Luke had a lot to learn still as Yoda appears before him. So even though Luke talked tough about ending the Jedi with him, he really couldn't do it, could he? He went up the tree to burn it down. He couldn't do it. Then Yoda brings down lightning bolt and burns the whole tree much faster than Luke's little flame. And he goes in to save the text because Luke couldn't do what he wanted to do in his head because he was weak. Because he was dealing with something that Yoda wanted to teach him. So another lesson that Yoda teaches Luke is about failure. Hear the quote that Yoda gave him in that moment. You want to do a lot of things. You want to talk about strength and mastery, yes, but here's what he says. But weakness, folly, failure also. Yes, failure most of all. The greatest teacher failure is. And then he says, Luke, we are what we grow beyond. That's a fill-in-the-blank moment if you've got your insert out. Luke, we are what we grow beyond. What causes us to lose hope so often in the church and in our own life, what causes us to lose hope in the power and the authority of Christ is that we paid too much attention to our failures instead of learning from them. It's one thing to pay attention to them. It's another thing to learn from them and move on. See, when we keep failures inside, what we often do is empower them within us. I've shared this multiple times in counseling sessions. Hurt that is undealt with becomes an influence in your life that has a negative impact. Pain that has no resolution, shame that is held on to, it all becomes an incredible tidal wave in our life that washes away hope. Instead, I think what we have to do is understand that there's something to take care of that failure, to learn from that failure. See, the tidal wave just doesn't end even in your own life, because when we're too afraid to acknowledge our own failures, what happens is we project that tidal wave onto others and they think that we're perfect, but then what they start dealing with is the idea that they can't measure up to us. And so then they have their own set of failures and their own set of frustrations inside of them because you look too perfect, because you're too afraid to admit your own failures in your own moments in your own life that didn't go according to plan, and the cycle goes on and on and on. And this happened for the Jedi. This happens for us. The greatest teacher failure is if we are willing to be humbled by it, acknowledge it, and release it. See, the Church of Jesus has just as much access to the Holy Spirit today as we did on the day of Pentecost. The Church of Jesus Christ today has the authority that Jesus said that we would to do even greater things. But too often, we have looked at the moments we have prayed that didn't work out. We looked at the moments that we sought healing that didn't go according to our plan. We look at the moments where we have failed spiritually and we stay recluse and we don't acknowledge those and look for the spiritual truth behind them. Our sacred texts have been placed in hollowed out logs and treated more holy than the spirit in which inspired them. Over time, we've become more and more comfortable with the lack of transformation that flows out of our temples. The Church of Jesus has divided over and over and over and over again for issues that I don't even think Jesus cared all that much about. For what end? To what gain? See, there's a battle going on for the heart and soul of every man, woman, and child. And too often, we are consumed by what new song the band is going to play. Or will they ever, for the love of all good things, finish off the front of that new building with steps and get rid of all that sloppy stone? I mean, there are things that consume us, consume me, and at the end of the day, do they really matter? Do they really matter? Has the Church of Jesus been reduced to a gymnasium? Or will we realize that the spark of hope that will defeat the prince of this world rests within you? Will we sit back and place our hope in the teaching of our pastor or whatever mega preacher we listen to throughout the week? Or will we stand up and see what God wants us to do to make a real difference in the world in which we live, in the street that we live on, in the school that we attend, or in the office, the line, or building that we work in? See, the Last Jedi movie turned on its head when it began to realize that the Force was now flowing through a street girl who came from no Jedi lineage. Her parents sold her off for a drinking binge. She was nobody. Rey is who I'm speaking of. She wasn't a Skywalker. She wasn't a Kenobi after all. She wasn't from any line of Jedi. But she was more powerful than all of them. And how? Because the Force was ready to work through everyone. And the scene, the movie ended with these enslaved children in the gaming city of Canto Bight. The final scene of this saga isn't experienced by the jubilance of blowing up the Death Star again or by outrunning the Imperial troopers. It wasn't by anything. It was the movie ended by watching a slave boy call for his broom, and it came to him and he caught it. And then he stood there in defiance as the moonlight shines in and the shadow comes across his body holding that broom like a saber. And you're like, oh, this is going to be good because slave boys are getting the Force now. This is going to be really good. It's flowing through all who are willing to be used. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church during a very dark and dismal time. They were frustrated and they were struggling. Just like I had said, their leaders were dying. They weren't seeing the promises the way that they thought. And in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, he explains that the old way of connecting to God, which was known as the law, it was awesome, it was holy, and it was amazing. But it also pointed out many of their failures and brought them condemnation. But the new way of connecting to God was through His Son, Jesus, and it brings light and wholeness. See, the gospel of Jesus brings hope to all who are feeling defeated and lost. The gospel of Jesus brings hope to all who are lacking direction and peace. The gospel of Jesus brings hope to all who have been given, to all who have given into darkness and who have fear gripping their future. That's the gospel of Jesus, and it's come to bring hope, and not just in me to you, but to all of us together. It's the power of this story. And our takeaway statement of the day is this: the hope of this world and all eternity has been placed within the life of every true believer. Like Luke, I think there's this understanding of going to the right church with the right pastor, with the right worship leader that's got all the right ministries for my right family. And we look for that. And I'm glad all of you found it. Sorry, I speak sarcasm all day long. We look for that because we want that. But the reality is your spiritual depth cannot be determined by me. It cannot be determined by the ministries we provide nor the songs we sing. Your ministry depth is the Spirit of God working inside of you. Your willingness to embrace forgiveness and then transformation that flows from that, that's more powerful than any force that Lucas will ever dream up and write about. It's the power to change your life, your addictions. It has the power to change the direction of your life and give you a new hope and a new future. So this is what Paul was recording to the church in Corinth when they were struggling through difficult times as well. Chapter 3, verse 12, since this new way gives us such confidence, he says, we can be very bold. Then down to chapter 4, verse 7, we now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile J. Clark, fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God and not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Down to verse 15. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people,
there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying and our spirits are being renewed every day, for our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles that we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see, those will last forever. And this is a beautiful picture because it shows us the source of hope is not from ourselves and it's not from any person at all. In fact, the source of hope comes from God. A view of eternity, this is a view of eternity that balances our temporary struggles of this world and places them in the hands of a God who sees eternity from beginning to end with great clarity. See, in the Jedi, the last Jedi movie, it begins thinking that all hope was being placed in the hands of one person, that of Luke Skywalker. But what we've come to understand as this movie continued on is that he was not going to be the spark that would ignite the flame to defeat the First Order. He was not the spark that would defeat their enemy. Instead, they all began to realize that that spark was within each and every one of them. The Force is not limited in just few people. In fact, it's available to all. And the reality is, the beautiful picture is, that Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is available for us in the same way. The hope of this church does not rest on me as your pastor. The hope of this church does not rest on the staff of this church. The hope of this church rests within every heart of every one of us who call out on Jesus' name. Because the power that God has made available to us through his Holy Spirit is available to all who call out on his name. So where is your hope running thin in your life? As you think about the challenges of your life, where is your hope running thin? Where is confusion and fear taking over within you? Where is your hope springing from? Where do you place your hope? Where do you find that strength to face the challenges of life? See, I believe that we can thrive within the hope that Jesus Christ offers us. The plan, the spark of hope, rests within all who believe and allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct their life. This is not some form of religion. This is a relationship with a loving God that wants to thrive and live in you in a way that no matter what comes your way, you will not give up. As Paul wrote, though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed. What a great contrast. Everything in this world can die. Everything in this world will struggle. Everything in this world will be painful. But our spirits can continually be renewed every day through the power of God's Holy Spirit. For our present troubles are small. They will not last. They will produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So remember Paul's words. We don't look at the troubles that we see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen, for the things we see will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Let me pray for you. God, thank you so much for those who have listened to this message on this day. May you encourage them with your hope. May we be reminded that the hope of this world, the hope of all eternity, has been placed in within the hearts of every one of us who have taken faith in you. And may we be willing to take that hope to every moment of despair. May we take that hope to every moment of frustration or disappointment. May we take that hope to every corner of fear in this world and proclaim your love and your goodness in its place. May your Holy Spirit and your power flow through each and every one of us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Additional downloads and resources are available by visiting flushingcommunity.org. Join us this Sunday as we gather to experience God's transforming love together.